Each year, for many people, this week of Thanksgiving brings many periods of watchful expectation. For these days that have come and perhaps are still coming have included journeys and arrivals and wonderful events that follow there at the destination. How many children in how many cars have asked, "Are we there yet?" Well, that's one kind of expectation. But perhaps we do better to think instead of the child who is not in the car but is inside the house, looking out the front window and asking, "When will Grandma and Grandpa get here? When will my aunt and uncle get here? When will my cousins get here at last?" And what is it that fills the hours and days before they finally arrive? Communication by phone or other ways to make plans? Cleaning the house and setting up the guest room to make a physical space for them? Taking days off of work and clearing the calendar to make a space in time for them? And planning all those fun and meaningful activities by which you will spend time together and bring them delight. All of this to prepare for the arrival of a holiday guest. Now, this special time each year in the life of so many families in the United States coincides with the beginning of Advent, the season that the church gives us each year to prepare for the arrival of our Lord Jesus Christ, to prepare for his arrival with eager expectation. Early in the Mass, we prayed in the Collect, or opening prayer, "Grant your faithful, we pray, Almighty God, the resolve to run forth to meet your Christ with righteous deeds at his coming, so that gathered at his right hand, they may be worthy to possess the heavenly kingdom. For our Lord will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end." And as we will proclaim in just a few minutes, "I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come." Now, if those expressions sound just a little more emphatic than usual, a more emphatic opening prayer, a more emphatic creed, they are. For what we are hearing is among the changes in this English retranslation of the Missal that we begin using today for the first time. And I can tell you that I have been waiting with eager expectation for this day, ever since about 2 years ago I first read the first section of the Missal to go final. For I saw then what you now will also hear, not only that it is a more accurate translation of the Latin original, not only that it is much more consistent with what is already prayed in other languages around the world, but that it communicates important theological truths more clearly. It uses scripture in a way that is much more recognizable. And it uses words and imagery that are much more beautiful and vivid than the somewhat flat and boring translation we've been using for the last 40 years. And so it is that we pray with energy and passion for the resolve to run forth to meet your Christ, with an eagerness that meets and even surpasses our eager expectation of the guests that arrive this Thanksgiving week, and a passion that matches the words of the prophet Isaiah that we heard in the first reading. For there we heard him cry, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down with the mountains quaking before you. Would that you might meet us doing right." Do we, in fact, feel that same passion, that same longing for the second coming of our Lord Jesus? Do you feel it? Do you desire his coming that much? Does your heart ache and cry, even within this Mass, "Come, Lord Jesus"? What can make our hearts so eager for his coming? What can give us that passionate longing that we hear from the prophet Isaiah and from the early church? Two things can give it to us: a negative reason and a positive reason. The negative reason comes as we look around us and observe that things are not going so well in our earthly lives and might not get much better. Many might feel this especially today as they struggle with job loss, as they look around our nation and our world and see economic turmoil, political deadlock, violent confrontations. We heard Isaiah observe of his own people, "We are sinful, unclean, polluted, withered." And we too can observe moral decay on a personal and societal level. When stresses mount, when pressures increase, when hope declines, when age takes its toll, we too may long for release and cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus." That is the negative reason. But there is also the positive reason. For as we get to know our Lord Jesus better, as we receive his love and goodness, as we experience his saving power in our lives, as we savor sweet communion with him, as he touches us under sacramental signs, then, all the more, we long to know him fully, to see him face to face, to see him as he is. For if he is the source and creator of all that is wondrous and beautiful and delightful in our world, then what must he be in himself? And what blessedness to be united with him for all eternity. We must never fall for the lie that heaven is boring and hell is empty, that this earthly life has the highest highs and the lowest lows, and everything that follows is so much more dull. No, quite to the contrary. This life is only a shadow of the rewards or punishments that await us in eternity. How then shall we sharpen our expectation and preparation this Advent? How shall we run forth to meet him? Perhaps in the same four ways that we said that we prepare to welcome a Thanksgiving guest. First, by communicating with him now, before his arrival. By stepping away from only hearing the voices of the world, on television, on the computer, or in other places, and making sure that we hear our Lord's voice in Scripture, in church teaching, in the writings of the saints, in the silence of prayer. To hear his voice, to find out what kind of heart he wants to find in us on his arrival. Second, by cleaning up the house. We do this especially by sacramental confession, not only of mortal sins, but even of venial sins, and by making changes in our ongoing daily habits to truly make space for him to arrive in our lives. Third, by making time in our schedules. During these 4 weeks of Advent, can you set aside a little time each day, perhaps in the morning or in the evening, or even in your lunch hour? How and where can you make time for this guest? Fourth, by choosing how to spend that time with him. Having made that time, perhaps you could read and meditate upon some scripture. You could pray and listen to his voice. Perhaps you could use one of those little blue books that you can take from the vestibule as a tool to help you in this. Perhaps you might be able to attend daily Mass on some days or all days of the week. In these four ways, by communicating with him now, by cleaning up the house, by making time in our schedules, and by spending that time with him, this Advent season can truly be a rich and meaningful time of nourishing expectation, as you take time frequently to be alone with him who we know loves us. Come, Lord Jesus.